You're listening to the Play, Teach, Talk podcast. I'm Tiffany Thompson, a speech pathologist with over 20 years of expertise in working with children under 3 years of age and their families to help them understand language and communicate more effectively. My specialty is in working with emerging communicators with few or no true words to reduce their frustration, help them interact and play with their peers and family, and learn to truly enjoy the back and forth of functional communication throughout their daily routines. This podcast is not intended to diagnose speech-language disorders, but is more of a general set of suggestions for children who are experiencing delays in their language skills. For recommendations or therapy specific to your child's needs, consultation or evaluation with a licensed speech-language pathologist in your city is highly suggested. This is Season 5, Episode 2 of the Play, Teach, Talk podcast, How to End Power Struggles. So I should start the episode letting you know that this episode is coming from the position of a therapist. So when I have a child who is engaged in a power struggle with me during a session, because I'm not a parent, I'm not going to be using disciplinary practices with the child. I usually try to make sure that I am handing over the child to the parent, or if we're in the middle of a coaching session, I step back and say, okay, you know, I don't know what your process for discipline is, so I'm going to step back and let you be the parent and the disciplinarian and make the decisions about what the lines are that are drawn. So to let you know ahead of time, these strategies are typically not related to any sort of disciplining of a child when there's a power struggle that's happening. This is just ways to actually break down those power struggles within things like a session when I'm not to be making some sort of disciplinary choice here. So, 5 ways to help you break down that power struggle and make life a little easier for you and for the child. And we're talking toddlers here. One big thing to remember is that this child, when they get into a power struggle, when they have decided to push against, unlike with adults, for some kids it can be very, very hard to break that kind of mental space that a child is in. And so many of these methods, strategies that I'm using are to actually help change the mental space that the child is in when they've decided to resist and put themselves in a power struggle. So the first one is always to give a choice. If this is a power struggle that comes up in the same routine every single time, like they want a snack and you're trying to give them grapes and they don't want grapes, they want chips, then what you might want to do is offer 2 choices of things that you already want them to have. So they want a snack, so give them the choice of, do you want this or do you want that? Giving a choice gives that child the feeling of autonomy that they're really searching for when they get into power struggles with you. So that can very often be a help. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they may still choose the preferred item, but giving them that choice changes the dynamic and changes the power struggle a little bit by giving that child a choice. Number 2, is to find something to break the mood. You have that resistance. So how can we kind of change that mental state to actually not be resisting you? Lots of ideas. Maybe if it's not something that's a big deal, I had one little boy who was just very focused on wanting to play a song. That was the thing he wanted to do. And any attempts to kind of move him to a different idea, different activity, a different strategy, he just was not going to have it. So I asked the mom, would it be okay just to play the song through one time? And he wanted it played through, I think, 3 times total. But once he had that song played that he wanted to hear, he was willing and open, and his brain had kind of switched off of that resistance to just going ahead and doing the next thing. So sometimes giving into that power struggle, it doesn't mean that you're completely off track. You're still going to get what you're trying to get accomplished. It's just that as long as that resistance is there, you're going to have trouble getting the child to focus on what you want them to do. This was a good strategy I used with one little girl. It's called the speed up game. And that is, there was a little girl who wanted to play with toys, and it was time for her to move to a different thing. And the teacher was asking her to clean up the toy. And she, no, I'm not going to. You need to clean up the toy. No, I'm not going to. You need to clean up the toy. So what I did is I jumped in and I said, oh my gosh, we got to do this really fast. Let's clean up the toy. Oh, you got to put it in the box. And so like the, changing the energy on there, she was stuck in her resistance. I don't want to do this. I'm being asked to do it. When I made it into a game and I sped up the tone that I was using, told her she had to get it done really fast, she thought it was hilarious. She was laughing. She was willing to move on. And it was just that, again, change in the mood of what was going on. She could feel the resistance from the teacher, that she was resisting the teacher. And we were kind of stuck in this stalemate until I kind of jumped in and changed the mood of it. Another example might be problem solving. Let's say you've got a child who wants to do the same movement over and over. They've been stepping up and down on a step, and you're just trying to get down the road to get into the library or something like that. You might ask them, like, what happens if we're just going to be stuck here, right? We're going to be stuck on this step. We'll never get into the library, and we'll never get to read a book. Let's go. Those simple types of problem solving can sometimes help if you've got a child who's in that kind of situation, that the reason that you're trying to kind of push them is for a reason that's going to benefit them in the end. So thinking about that problem-solving piece of it might help your child to understand, you know, what the reason is for why you're saying let's do this instead of what you're choosing to do right now. The other thing is, if it's safe, this is number five for me, allow the consequence to happen. If it's a cheap toy and you don't want the child to break it because they really like that toy and you can see that what they're doing is going to break the toy, allow them to do it. You know, if it's not going to hurt them, if it's not going to hurt the child, if it's not going to hurt you, if it's a bummer that the toy gets broken, but you can see that that's getting ready to happen, then let it happen. Because I think one of the things that we try to do is look ahead so that our kids won't be disappointed or won't be sad. But part of actions are the consequences that happen based on those actions. And it is actually a learning tool for kids to understand sometimes that when you say don't do things, it's for a very good reason. And I hate for a kid to be disappointed too. I don't want them to be sad or to have done something that would be harmful to a toy that they like or something like that. But if it's a lesson that can be learned in that moment, it might not hurt for the child to actually learn that consequence. Or if they're, you know, if they have a sticker that they really, really like and they keep picking it up and putting it on things and the sticky keeps going away and away and away, and you say, you might want to put that on a piece of paper or keep it on the sticky because the sticky is going to go away and it won't stick anymore. It's a great consequence for kids to learn, hey, this is the reason why I'm telling you not to do this. So because I am no child psychologist and no parent psychologist, I am going to let the experts give you more information, and I'm going to post articles about the more emotional part of parenting that parent psychologists can give you about how to self-calm and how to present a loving nature and manner with your child so that you're both working through these power struggles together. But these are just kind of ways to deflect through the power struggle. And I hope that they help and make those moments a little less emotionally heavy for you and help you break your child out of that power struggle.